Let us unite our hearts in mutual prayer and thanksgiving. May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and always. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before thee this evening hour with heartfelt thanks, but also with prayers, thanking thee above all, dear Heavenly Father, that thou hast given us thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and that thou hast given us this gift of living faith, we who are totally meritless and unworthy of it. But through thy great love and through thy grace, thou hast granted us this precious gift of faith, of which we, dear Father, cannot be thankful enough in this mortal being. But thou knowest us, thou knowest our making, thou who hast created us and everything that exists, and thou knowest our sincere and earnest desire to still travel today as thy dear children, owning that hope through faith of eternal life, when we one day will be gathered before thee and thy Son. We also pray this evening, our dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered for these Thanksgiving Eve services, that thou would once again allow the gospel to have free course amongst us, that thou would provide for us, open thy word unto thy servants wherever they may be serving, to speak that word which is according to thy will and according to thy Spirit, unto the honor and the glory of thy namesake, and for the strengthening of our faith life. We also ask this evening, our dear Father, that thou would still continue to call those who are in darkness on the outside of thy kingdom into this kingdom of light, where thy dear Son reigns and is with his flock unto the last day. Hear our prayers for the sake of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus. And thus once again we pray as he has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thought to read for a text in the study of God's Word this evening a brief text from the first book of Thessalonians, its 5th chapter and the 18th verse. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. The apostle has written unto us and unto the Thessalonians a word of instruction that could seem unto us from our human understanding and reasoning that would be impossible to fulfill. When we think that he says, give thanks in all things, when we consider or think of all things, that is everything that pertains to our life. But brothers and sisters, when we consider everything that exists, everything that has been given by the Heavenly Father through creation for our benefit and for the benefit of all mankind for its use, God created everything from nothing through his word. And therefore it is for us It is everything that exists. This again is many times difficult for us to fathom. Because oftentimes, especially I, as I was a child, would think of creation and everything that God created would be the skies, the stars, the atmosphere, the earth, the trees, the vegetation, waters, the fowls, the animals, and human beings. But it seems that everything that belongs to our modern day life and our developing world, such as automobiles and many other conveniences that we have, it was hard for me as a child to fathom and to think that through God's creation, they came about to exist. Because God gave man the skills, the gifts, to further the development and the invention of those things that make our life more convenient. Those are all God-given gifts. How many times do we, brothers and sisters, pause to give thanks unto the Heavenly Father for all the goodness that He has bestowed and extended unto us? When we think of all things, are there some things that it is difficult perhaps for us to be thankful of? When matters do not go correctly in our life, have you thought, brother and sister, how we should be thankful for the gift of good health? Or even greater and further than that, and more important, is the gift of life. But then we get to the most important matter, and that is the gift of living faith. All other things are secondary to the gift of living faith. But now that tomorrow we are going to celebrate Thanksgiving, it oftentimes occurs to me that are we always thankful for the blessings of having a square meal every day and the food that God has blessed unto us? We perhaps take it for granted. We're just as human as everyone else. We have this old portion, our reason. We have a fierce enemy within us, in our flesh and blood, that seems to want to preach that sermon so that we just take it for granted that we have food, clothing, shelter. But these are all God-given blessings. In a wink of an eye, God could take all these blessings away from us. We know how there is so much starvation and hunger around the world. Even some of our beloved brothers and sisters in faith in those third world countries do not have what we have. We are blessed with such a abundance, we could say surplus of everything. Everything is so convenient. We can just go to a store and pick it from a shelf. We can purchase it. God has blessed us with the means to buy it. Have we ever thought how fortunate we are that even though it seems to us that perhaps our employment is due to our own endeavors and our own accomplishments, but if God will not bless even our work and our employment, it would not be so. But perhaps it's another thing we take for granted. But then I thought also, oftentimes we as God's kingdom looks very insignificant and very lowly, very old-fashioned in the eyes of the spiritual world. And in general, even the ungodly. They cannot comprehend how we are so old-fashioned and how we have such a perhaps unique or different way of comprehending and understanding the salvation of the undying soul. Because God's kingdom does not require, or the doctrine of living faith does not require those external works of man. To obtain salvation. These all arise from corrupt man and his self-righteousness. But God's kingdom is simply that God provides through the instruction and guidance of his Holy Spirit. There is nothing required of us or of any man. Just one matter. And that is to firmly believe that God has his kingdom here upon earth. And through his grace kingdom, through the preaching of the gospel, of which the apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto all whom believe. One has to only acknowledge himself to be a sinner before God. And that unless he is able to put his sins away, those sins that separate from him from the living God, he is on his way to eternal damnation. But in the wink of an eye, when the gospel is proclaimed, then the Holy Spirit does its work. It sanctifies one, and he is then cleansed from those sins. They are all forgiven and drowned in the sea of mercy. But then can we, brothers and sisters, be thankful when those who in darkness and in false spiritualities look down upon us? Yes, we can, brothers and sisters. Even though our wretched human portion, this old man, old portion, would many times want to be and think on the contrary. Many times perhaps it puts our self-pride or hurts our self-pride. But that is good also. It is good, brothers and sisters, if we didn't have any self-pride when it comes to matters of living faith versus those who are in darkness. But we find ourselves so many times weak and incapable of really confessing our faith unto those on the outside. And many times we are challenged. But even tomorrow, when we gather for Thanksgiving, we know that the pilgrims celebrated also Thanksgiving. They were so thankful that they were able to come to a new country. So they expressed their thanks unto God that now they had a place where they had the freedom of worship. That freedom of worship, brothers and sisters, is still in our midst. We do not know the day and the time, as other nations have experienced, where those in living faith have had to go into the woods and into private secluded places to gather and read Holy Scripture, sing songs, speak of the way and the journey, and to comfort and bless one another with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in fear of the authorities. The Apostle Paul also, when he speaks to Timothy, he instructs him and says that I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made unto all men. Then he goes on to say, unto kings and those in authority, so that we could live a peaceable and godly life in all honesty. Here the Apostle Paul is expressing a prayer also. And it is our due responsibility to give thanks unto all, even those that he speaks about as they had kings in those days, but we have presidents, governors, and so on and so forth. That we also make prayers and express our thanks unto the Heavenly Father for those who are in authority and in power and in high places. Those who are making the laws of our land. Those that are making the laws for civil obedience. And it is our due respect to respect those laws. Perhaps sometimes there are laws and legislation that is passed that is contrary to our conscience and our living faith. These we cannot avoid. As we realize, lately, especially in our state, some other states, there have been very liberal, very saddening legislation and laws passed. And those that are really difficult for us as God's children. Because they deal with those matters that are contrary and against God's creation and His intent for mankind. And also for procreation. But we as God's children always want to represent, even when we are asked concerning these matters, that is according to God's word. Jesus, in his day, expressed a very important thanks unto the Heavenly Father. And that thanks was expressed especially for us, God's children. When he said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast kept these things from the wise and the prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes. Brothers and sisters, who are babes? Who are these babes? They are exactly us. We oftentimes, when we consider babes, and perhaps the word comes from baby or infant, Jesus once set as an example in God's kingdom to be the greatest of all a child. Jesus here wanted to exemplify or to show what nature our faith needs to be. We need to have childlike faith. This does not mean that there cannot be wealth or prominence or well-regarded individuals in society. That cannot become a child of God. No, this does not. What these words of Jesus are referring to is the condition of the heart. It needs to be a childlike heart. It is where then man has to put aside all his proudness, all his wealth, all his prestige, all his recognition in society as being an individual of great stature, and become as a little child. And then he will find the way into God's kingdom. For Jesus says, for such is the kingdom of God. Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter therein. But the Lord Jesus, who is with his own every day from the beginning to the end, brothers and sisters, still is today that unseen guest amongst the golden candlestick here upon earth. He is still carrying and interceding, praying on our behalf unto the Heavenly Father. Just as Jesus prayed, was it not that priestly prayer? I pray that thou would not take them from this world, but that thou would protect them. As we already mentioned, we have especially this freedom of worship. And we have many, many freedoms. But there can come a time when we lose these freedoms. The prayer of Jesus, when he thanked the Heavenly Father that he has revealed these things. What are these things? This is a very basic mystery of living faith. We know that Jesus had to deal so much with the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees, those who had their own doctrine and religion, those who had many, many laws that they had to abide and go by, those who attempted to fulfill the laws. How Jesus had to pass judgment on all them. He had to denounce them. They did not recognize that he was the Son of God. They did not comprehend the true, we could say, fatherhood of Abraham. When Jesus contended with them that if you would have recognized or known Abraham, you would have known me, for I was before Abraham. This they could not comprehend, because their eyes were blinded in their own righteousness. The Apostle Paul, in that same passage on to Timothy, speaks of this giving of thanks. He also concludes it in this way, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." The Heavenly Father looks upon us as His children here upon earth. Everything that takes place, God's hand is there directing it. We may think, why does God allow certain things to happen? Why does He allow certain legislation and laws to become law? It is exactly for the hardness and the darkness of mankind. But all things are possible unto God. May we, brothers and sisters, be only thankful tonight that we can be members of this living kingdom of God, and that our sins are forgiven. They are blotted out by the blood of our Lord Jesus. And that we are on our way to heaven. And even tomorrow when we eat that Thanksgiving meal, even though many times it's easy for us to forget, that why are we as believers, even though this is a national holiday and a traditional holiday, that we gather with friends and family and to eat the traditional turkey meal. That we remember to truly thank the Heavenly Father for those blessings, even that meal. But brothers and sisters, if we would expand a little more also on hunger and eating. We know that in a natural sense we become hungry. We need to eat. Sometimes people eat to the extent, many will tomorrow, celebrating Thanksgiving Day, not even having perhaps an idea or caring what the meaning of that Thanksgiving or thanks is. They'll be involved in their, perhaps watching sports or whatever, and in their parties, truly gather with family and friends, but not understanding anything about that true meaning, what it means to be thankful unto God for all the blessings that He has given. We also eat because we are hungry. But then there is another kind of a hunger. Brothers and sisters, that we may cherish. And that is that hunger that Jesus had to denounce the devil there when he was 40 days in the wilderness being tried and tempted. When the devil said, you know, if thou be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Jesus says, it is written, man liveth not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. This is our true life, brothers and sisters. Even if we were on the verge of starvation for food, and perhaps imminent death would be before us, the most important matter would be that we would hunger for the gospel. That we would have a wholesome and healthy appetite. God has made and continues to make those opportunities, brothers and sisters, that we can gather unto the hearing of the word. Where that appetite for God's word is satisfied through the gospel, through the preaching. May we always remember and treasure. I know that we many times speak and repeat these matters, but we do not know how near. You know, the disciples were very, very curious, and I think we heard of this perhaps in the past Sunday, Judgment Sunday. They questioned the Lord Jesus, when will the end come, and when will your second coming be present or here? But Jesus drew their attention to that one and most important matter. See that no man deceive you. There are so many deceivers, brothers and sisters, in our day, especially spiritual, who have a different form or way of salvation, which really is not a way, who have a form of godliness, but it is not a form of godliness. Therefore, brothers and sisters, may the Heavenly Father help us and reveal unto us always the very important matter and treasure, this that we have the opportunity to gather before God's Word, to be fed that gospel manna that sustains our hunger and strengthens and refreshes and encourages us to that final destination, brothers and sisters. This very moment, dear brother and sister, you who are along with me, feel my poorness, my poverty, how much I am lacking. And I'm sure oftentimes, brothers and sisters, you have many deep doubts, even regarding this kingdom, this precious flock of believers upon this earth, where this simple gospel is preached for the salvation of undying souls. That is, this truly God's kingdom. And when matters come up that are difficult and decisions have to be made, and we are tempted in our corrupt being, in our flesh and blood, to something that is questionable and regarded as sinful in God's kingdom, the enemy will whisper like the enemy did unto Eve, did God say so? But may we firmly believe that God did say so, and it is so yet tonight. Dear brother and sister, you can believe tonight all sins and doubts and faults of the journey forgiven in the name and the blood of Jesus. Yes, believe all sins forgiven. And also, brothers and sisters, coming here to serve this evening, seems that my vessel has been so empty. It seems that corruption weighs so heavy on me. It seems that I am so unworthy. And it seems that I am not qualified even to be in this office, which is given unto every servant to feed the flock of God before you. I have so many doubts and so many fears. Can I hear these and all my sins? Can I have all my sins forgiven this evening? I desire to believe along with you, dear brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, Amen.